97.5 The Fanatic.
Saturday afternoon here at 97.5 The Fanatic. We're here keeping you company however you're spending your day. Maybe you're out taking a walk. Maybe you're indoors. Maybe you're getting set to have dinner. All of the above. And we're hoping that we can just keep you company as we get through these tough times. We've been talking a lot today about the Hall of Fame class of Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, and Tim Duncan. And we've had a couple of people who could relate to the beginnings of their careers. And as I said, we don't always know, like at some point you say to yourself, now that's a Hall of Famer. But how would you know when in the case of Kobe and KG, they are coming straight out of high school and here they are all those years later, both were stopped playing after the 15-16 season. KG was selected fifth in 1995. Kobe was 13th in 1996, and Tim Duncan was number one overall after an outstanding career at Wake Forest. He was the college guy who's now going into the Hall of Fame. On the phone, we have a Philly guy. Bill Schoening is with us. Bill, how are you? And first and foremost, are you safe? How's your family? How's everybody in life?
Everybody's doing great, but when you introduce me as a Philly guy, it gives me no point of reference for Tim Duncan, right? So it's like, I'm just a Philly guy, right? I don't know anything about this guy.
I heard that he, is that true? He always called you Philly?
Philly, yeah, yep. PJ Carlissimo, D, when I first took over as the radio voice of the Spurs back in 01, PJ was actually doing television for us. And he found out I was from Philadelphia, and he just called me Philly Billy. I said, I don't really like that nickname. He goes, well, IW Philly Billy then. So it just stuck. And certain guys, Tim Duncan, Bruce Bowen, Malik Rose, of course, who's also from Philly.
Sure.
They just started calling me that. And, you know, to this day, of course, Tim's an assistant with us now, and he just calls me Philly. So that's, I guess the nickname stuck. But I'm very happy today, obviously, you know, to see Tim get in. I think it was a pretty much no-brainer.
I think for all three yeah. of those big names, Rudy Tomjanovich, right. You were going to say, what did you think of that one?
I love Rudy. Rudy's a buddy of mine. He moved. I live in Austin, which is just north of San Antonio, about an hour. Mm-hmm. And Rudy just recently moved to Austin about maybe 2 years ago. And he loves the music scene here. So I've taken him out a few times. He loves R&B and soul because he grew up in Detroit, the Motown sound. So he loves going out listening to bands with horns. And I was very happy to see Rudy get in as well today.
Absolutely. All right, let me ask you, do you recall when... When you got the job, because this would have been your 19th season that we were in the midst of,
right.
or whatever
right.
we are.
Yeah, Tim had already had 4 years in the NBA and had already won a championship in 99. It was the tail end of David Robinson's career. I got the last 2 years of David, and of course, David wasn't the same player late in his career. He had some back injuries, and he was averaging 8 points, 9 points a game compared to the 23, 24 points he was averaging earlier in his career. But I still got to see those two guys work together and got to see a little bit of that twin tandem, the twin towers
sure.
that they had going on. Then, of course, after the 03 championship, it basically became Tim's team, and then Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili were coming on after that. So then the whole evolution of the big three happened with those three guys.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question, because for him, Tim Duncan, all his years in San Antonio, Kobe always only wore the Lakers uniform. I mean, it didn't happen that way on draft day. But to be able to have a guy who did their entire career in one place probably is not going to happen that often anymore. What was unique to you that he was just always wanted to be in San Antonio?
It's perfect for him because he is not the type of guy to go chase dollars. He would not have been comfortable in New York City, for instance, you know, with the bright lights. He's not an L.A. guy. He's from St. Croix, Virgin Islands. He's a very laid-back guy. He's not going to win any GQ awards for best dressed. He likes to wear flip-flops and jeans. And because he was in San Antonio, which is a very laid-back city and kind of a smaller town compared to some of the other big cities in the NBA, he was just very comfortable there. He had several offers to go other places. In fact, he thought about going to Orlando at one point to be with Doc Rivers, and he decided at the last moment to stay in San Antonio. That really helped not only from the Spurs perspective, it was great. And from Tim's perspective, it was pretty good as well, because as I mentioned, they started drafting those guys like Parker and Ginobili, and they came on, of course, got a great run. But I really think when you look back at it, he may have saved the franchise in San Antonio, because there was a lot of talk about the Spurs moving. When Duncan decided to stay and won the championship in 99, those things, I think, really solidified the franchise. They built a new arena. And, of course, the rest is history. The Spurs have won 5 championships, all with Duncan, obviously. But they have had a great deal of success, and he's a big part of it.
Absolutely. All right, so you're from Philly, proud of the pride of West Catholic Temple. when you call games against the Six, first of all, what were your favorite sports and/or teams stars when you were growing up?
Oh, I'm a Philly guy through and through. I pull for the Sixers, D, to this day, 80 times a year. There's only 2 times a year I don't pull for the Sixers, and that's when they're playing the Spurs, because I know where that paycheck is coming from.
Sure.
So I'm a Phillies, Flyers, Eagles, Sixers guy all the way. To this day, in fact, my sons, neither one of whom were born in Philly, they're big Phillies fans, Eagles fans, Sixers fans. So it's pretty funny that, my older son lives in Salt Lake City. He's like the biggest Phillies fan I've ever met. He'll drive to Phoenix or he'll drive to Denver to go see the Phillies play. So I'm proud of that I was able to carry on that Philly legacy, even with my sons who never lived there.
Good for you. Absolutely. Well, let me tell you, for a long time during the process years, San Antonio, even before that, owned the Sixers, because a lot of those were my years of covering them. So you've not seen the Sixers have great success against San Antonio through the years anyhow.
Now, the last couple of years, though, the Sixers have gotten them pretty good.
Yep.
But it's funny because I obviously pull for the Spurs every game. I'm calling their games, but I keep a close watch on the Sixers. Brett Brown, of course.
He came
from the
through
organization.
Sure.
And I worked with Brett for 11 years, and one of my favorite guys. He was always a great stand-up guy before games, after games, always available to talk to about X's and O's or about the development of players. Of course, he worked in the area of player development. Brett did for years for the Spurs, and look at all those young guys he helped develop.
Sure.
Going as recently as Danny Green and going back as far as Tony and Manu.
Wow. You've seen a lot of great talent, and obviously we're talking today because these three highlight the 2020 class. There will be 9 individuals that go in. You brought up Rudy Tomjanovich as being one of them as well. Have you enjoyed particular opponents, individuals, more so than others? Like, for instance, I mean, everybody always asks me about Iverson moments. And obviously for you, you just rattled off whether it's Duncan, Robinson, Manu, Parker. But how about opponents that you really enjoyed, that you would get to see, maybe rub elbows with pregame, postgame, that just were enjoyable?
Sure. I would say Kobe's right at the top of that list, because remember all those years, the Spurs and Lakers basically were the top 2 teams in the Western Conference. There are a few exceptions here and there, but for the most part, for almost 2 decades, really, for the duration of the careers of Bryant and Duncan, those 2 teams met a lot in the Western Conference Finals or sometime during the playoffs. We had a guy named Bruce Bowen, who, of course, also played for the Sixers at one point.
Yep, Larry Brown.
He really blossomed as a defensive player. And I don't think it's fair to say he was a Kobe stopper, because I don't think he could really stop Kobe. But I think that he was the type of player to really get under Kobe's skin. But Kobe was such a competitor that Bruce, as much as he would try to get under his skin, Kobe had that laser-sharp focus and wouldn't let it bother him. It might have bothered him a little bit inside, but he certainly didn't show it. Another funny story, Manu Ginobili, of course, is from Argentina and played in Italy and is fluent in Italian because his heritage is Italian. And as we all know, Joe Bryant, Kobe's dad, played in Italy.
Yes.
In fact, Joe Bryant played at John Bartram High School, which is literally a block and a half from where I grew up in Southwest Philly. So I've been hearing about Joe Bryant for a long, long time from John Bartram and then LaSalle. But he played overseas, and Manu's first game was against the Lakers in L.A., and he comes to the bench, and he was laughing at one point. So I asked him after the game, I said, Manu, why are you laughing? And he said, oh, Kobe, he's trying to trash talk me in Italian, and his Italian is terrible.
That is so Kobe.
Yeah, yeah, so Kobe. So, yeah, he went try to get under Manu's skin, but they had a great relationship. I know Kobe had a great deal of respect for Manu, not only in the NBA, but also those international battles, because as you recall, Argentina won the gold medal back in 2004 and was a big upset when they beat the Americans in the semifinals.
Absolutely. Do you get back only the two times a year when, I mean, the one time, actually, San Antonio, you play twice, but it's only one here. Do you get back to Philly ever? More than that?
You know, I'm sure you remember Tony Bruno, longtime talk show host.
Absolutely.
Philly Roots. Mm-hmm. Tony always, whenever I'm on his show, he says, I'm the only guy he knows who lives in Texas and vacations in North Wildwood. So, which is true. I go back every summer. West Catholic has an annual get together, although this summer, unfortunately, it's been canceled. Birds at the Beach, it's called, and they have it in North Wildwood. So I try to make it every summer. I can't make it quite every year, but I'm a regular there. I try to make it every year I can. A really good buddy of mine, my best friend in Philly, is a guy named Ken Queter, who's a singer-songwriter that some folks may know. And I always go to hang out with him and watch him play. He has a regular gig at Smokey Joe's on the Penn campus, and he's been playing there for, I don't know, 30 years. He's had a regular gig there. So I always go back, try to see my old friends and family, of course. I still have family there. And so Philly still, even though I'm not there, and it's still my hometown, and I've lived in Texas now for a long, long time, but every summer I go back.
I love that, Birds at the Beach. You know what, that is one of the unique things about Philadelphia is that the especially the Catholic high schools have those reunions that spur all the years, but they do it at the Jersey Shore in the summer. I know my mom does the Goretti one. I know O'Hara does it at La Costa. So they all gather at some place, and it makes it unique to the Philadelphia area for sure.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, is I'm a big Phillies fan. Scott Fransky's a buddy of mine, the voice
sure.
of Phillies, of course.
Absolutely.
And I have not missed a Phillies game. I mean, I've seen at least one game every year, D, since 1965. So even though I haven't lived in Philly since 79, I'm a big enough Phillies fan where I got to make sure I go see them, whether it's in Philly or on the road. Back when the Astros were in the National League, that was a regular trip to go over to the Astrodome or to Minute Maid Park now and see them. And of course, that kind of got screwed up a little bit when they went to the American League. They weren't playing them
often. But, exactly.
But I still make sure I see the Phillies play, and I've seen them play at least once, usually multiple times, but at least once every year since 65.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you sharing some Philly stories and Tim Duncan stories. He is seems like such a nice guy. I hope, this is well-deserved, obviously, but I hope he's enjoying his coaching career as well. He's certainly under one of the best ever in Popovich, for sure.
I don't know how long he's going to keep coaching. I think he's doing this really as a favor to Pop. Because Pop lost a couple of assistant coaches, including Ime Udoka.
Yes, to the Sixers.
On the staff there with the Sixers. And he lost a couple of coaches late in the summer. So Tim just said, hey, I'll help you out. So I don't know how long Tim's going to coach or if coaching is really in his blood, but it's been great to have him around this year. He's a really good guy, laid-back guy, like I said, but very, very well-deserved to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
Bill, I'm glad I know that you live in Austin because I've only been to Austin once. And it was on one of my San Antonio trips. I just had to go over and see it because I hear so much about it. And I do love music, though I didn't have enough time to really take that in. So I might pick your brain sometime if I get to Austin.
Me know if you come down. It's an open invitation, D. And you know, hopefully this whole virus thing will be behind us soon, and we'll be able to, you know, all kind of get together in a big group setting and put this behind us. And music, obviously, is one of the things that I think a lot of people miss, you know, gathering and listening to music. Obviously, Philly's a big music town as well. So, anytime you want to come down, just please let me know.
All right, Bill, thanks so much for taking the time. I do appreciate it, and stay safe.
Okay, Dean, tell your dad I said hello.
Oh, you know what? He texted me, and he said, I'm supposed to tell you he said hello.
Okay, there you go, then.
Thank you.
Former West Catholic Burr right there, Jimmy Lynam.
That's right. I sent him the picture of the two of you just in case he didn't have it, so I forwarded it along.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thanks for being with us here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Anytime, Dee. Thank you.
Take care. Bill Schoening on our Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fest. It is amazing that how we can find like people with Philadelphia roots who then, even when they go away, stay tight to our city. They love this sports scene. Yeah, he had a great, his story was amazing. He went to West Catholic, as he mentioned. Yeah, the Burrs. And then he started out at Temple. And I think because he wasn't, they had a radio station on campus. And I think because so many people were interested in it, like you really couldn't do anything on air until your junior or even possibly your senior year. And he wasn't willing to wait. So back then they had a some kind of broadcasting. It was called like American Broadcasting something. It's no longer in existence. And it was in the city. I think it was like a 8th and Chestnut somewhere. Anyhow, you go there and voila, he did. They taught him everything about the broadcasting world. Also, the board, you know, meaning not just to be on air. And he was up and away he went. And I think his first job after that, if I'm not mistaken, was in Texas, though not his current job. It was he was a news director for some radio station. So, and now, like I said, this is his 19th season calling San Antonio Spurs games. And I thought the Philly connection plus the fact that Tim Duncan is going into the Hall of Fame, he would have some good perspective on Duncan, those great teams, those five championships. One had already been won by the time he got there because Duncan was in his fourth year at that point. I did personally love hearing that Kobe, in Manu's first game as a pro when the Spurs are playing the Lakers, that Kobe's trying to trash talk Manu Ginobili in Italian. that's just classic Kobe, isn't it? 610-632-0975. You know, sports, they bring people together. The storytelling certainly does as well. And that's what we're just trying to share, some good sports thoughts on this Saturday afternoon. And so we'll tie it into the Hall of Fame. And if you, one, know somebody who on a local level has been inducted into a Hall of Fame and maybe we don't really know about their career, maybe we should, right? Because I said on local levels, there are Hall of Fames at a lot of these universities. You know, we don't all get to be the big shots and go into the biggest or be on the grandest of stage, whether that's Canton, Cooperstown, Springfield. I wonder where the Hockey Hall of Fame is. I'll have to look that up. Where is it, Nat?
It's in Toronto.
It should be in Canada. That's a good one. Yeah, or Toronto. You know, we don't all get to be inducted at that level, but we can maybe have strong enough careers that you are part of a Hall of Fame at a high school, college, or, as I said, you may have just a great sports moment that's your stage for your participation in sports. And it might have been when you were a kid. It could be as an adult. As I mentioned, one of my great ones that I love, and I do have some kind of, you know what? Actually, I do have a couple. My participation in sports, I do like the winning the husband-wife golf at the Great Rolling Green Golf Club that's in Springfield, Pennsylvania. But I did think, now that I thought about it, it's tied to the sports world, and it is a cool trophy. When I worked for the NBA, I did win an Emmy for doing the promotional spots for the NBA that aired at the time. When I won, there was still the NBC carried the NBA games, and it was a big deal because there was like always a game on the weekend, and my spots would be highlighted in that particular game, and they aired elsewhere too. But anyhow, I do have a trophy for that, and that was the start of my career in sports broadcasting, which has taken many, many turns and included many things. But I guess that would count only because it's an acknowledgement by others in your field, which is basically, when we talk about the Hall of Fame, no matter the sport, it is highlighting that you have this great achievement. And for Hall of Fame, it's your career. It's, you know, what you have done to contribute over time. And that's why the debates take place, because not everybody thinks of the criteria in the same way. And so when we've had a couple of callers, like I had my one friend, Ed from Elkins Park, early on, was debating if Bill Bradley is in there, then why couldn't a Christian Laettner get into the Basketball Hall of Fame? And then another person saying, like, a Tracy McGrady is in there, could a Rasheed Wallace get in? So what are the criteria? What should the criteria be? I mean, how do you begin to put people in? And part of it, with the basketball, it does encompass all levels. Now, of course, when you look at this year's class, which has nine people, so the big three would be Kobe, KG, and Duncan, and their, you know, pro careers are phenomenal, right? And two of them went to the pros from high school, so there was no college career. Duncan, of course, had the great career at Wake Forest, but he didn't win a title. And then when you look at others that get in, like Rudy Tomjanovich is a former player as well as guiding the Rockets to those two championships in the 90s. So you have that. Then you have Eddie Sutton, who's college coach. You know, Oklahoma State is where he's most known for, but, you know, he's been at other places as well. And then you have people in the women's game. Coach Mulkey of Baylor is going in. I think the woman's name from Bentley, which is a Division II school, who has, you know, 1,078 wins, I believe. I might be jipping her a couple. I know her winning percentage is almost 79% for her career, but she's going in. So it when you're looking for criteria, certainly stats, winning, contributions, and it makes it difficult to say who's in and who's not. So, you know, that's why some people bring up who should be in. And I'd love to, who's a borderline for you? Like, to me, and Iverson is a no-brainer. I'm just going with Iverson because he was the most recent from Philly that was a player from the Sixers. And when you think of this class, there's really no debate. Those three big guys were, everybody knew before they even announced it today that they were getting in, because it's no-brainers. 610-632-0975. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
During this global pandemic, many of us are fortunate enough to stay home and out of harm's way. However, there are those on the front lines who help keep our community a safer place day in and day out. They are doctors, nurses, educators, custodians. They are health heroes. Is there a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize? Go to 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate the health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage, our social media pages, and listen on air every day to see if your health hero has been the one selected. Every health hero we highlight will receive a $50 Dunkin' gift card. We are all in this together. And by the way, when I see the Dunkin' gift card, I love the, they have done something just to acknowledge what's happening in the community right now. And you know it's their ad, Nat, because of the colors. Because of the orange and the pink that come up in the words. And you're like, of course, this is going to be Dunkin' Donuts at the end, you know, wishing everybody to be safe and thanking people who are doing exactly that, being health heroes. So I do, when I am watching, I do have an appreciation for people who acknowledge that, number one, the message of advertising has to change in this current time because there's a lot that can't be done. And so it, for companies that are doing that, I think it's kind of cool. I don't know. Have you
and
seen-
on top of this, it's good to see some other companies do it too. Like Wawa, they're giving away free coffee to all first responders and nurses.
I did see that. I actually went into the Wawa today near my house because I wasn't sure how it was working. I remembered that you can no longer just go in and pour your coffee. So, you know, I hadn't been in there in a while. And so I go in and I was the only one in the store other than the couple people working. And so I say to the guy, can I get coffee still? And he says, yes. And I go to the back and the nice girl, she's like, how do you like it? Which one do you want? I said, can I get like half of that one and half of this one? Sure, they'll make it any way you want. But it, the amazing part was, it was, you know, orally. And the one of the guys who was in the store working, but he was talking to the other guy. He might have been on a break. And he's like, I know you. And I said, you do? And so he's like, yeah, you and your dad do the Sixers. And I was thinking to myself, first of all, I had just rolled out of bed. Second of all, I said, wow, that's pretty good memory because it's been a while since you would have seen me there. So anyhow, yeah, communities. We're just seeing people and doing the best we can with what we got. I cannot believe I saw this because of the debate of the Christian Leitner. Again, today was announced who's going into the Hall of Fame for 2020 and the debate about different people. And we recently were just talking about Christian Leitner because the anniversary of his shot at the Spectrum was last weekend. And, you know, it spurred a whole conversation about people who had maybe phenomenal college careers, but did not equal that as pros. So, and then today, because we're just talking about who belongs, and there's no question about the people that we've been highlighting, which were Kobe, Kevin Garnett, and Tim Duncan. And by the way, there was another person who posted, like, the people who go in as one, all you need is the one name. Kobe being on that list. Kobe, Wilt, Oscar, you know. I don't know how often we'll have those. Well, LeBron would be one, probably the next that I would think of. But anyhow, so I had to go and look at, first of all, the I mentioned earlier that Charles Barkley went in 06, but he also went in 2010 with the Dream Team. And, you know, the Hall of Fame wanted to acknowledge that that was like the greatest team ever assembled. And so they put them in as a team. So I look up and I say, how many of the people on the Dream Team are individual Hall of Famers? And the number would be 11 out of the 12. So we know who the one is that is not in the Hall of Fame, and that would be Christian Leitner. And then three of the four coaches on the staff are also in the Hall of Fame on their own. So then I say to myself, okay, well, let's see. But this one statistic, and again, you have to remember that the basketball encompasses your college, pro, you can, you know, it's everything up there. They acknowledge every part of people's careers. Christian Leitner played 23 out of a maximum possible 24 NCAA tournament games. And his teams won 21 of those 23. Both of those numbers are records. For his career, Leitner averaged 16.6 points, 7.8 rebounds, while making almost half of his three-pointers. And that's obviously going to his college career. So then you say, okay, well, and then he played in the NBA. He averaged, you know, 12 and a half points. It's not totally his fault that he didn't play for great teams, but he had a good career. And then I say to myself, but that's where you say to the criteria, you know, once he got to the pros, it didn't have the same. So the analogy was, does he belong in as much as, say, a Bill Bradley, who is in there? Bill Bradley played on those Princeton teams. He was, you know, similar. A lot of what he did is associated with Princeton, but he was on two championship teams with the Knicks. So I think that that's as great as the college. You might want to make those arguments for those college careers. It's his professional would take him in a different direction than what the teams that Leitner was on could do. But, you know, it does give you some thought there. And obviously, being on that 92 team, he was the best college player at the time, and they still wanted to do that, have somebody represent the college ranks as they made that jump to having pros represent the United States. And he was the lone college player who joined what would become, you know, 11 other individual Hall of Famers all on that one team. Pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable for sure. 610-632-0975. I think of just the different ways when people do go, and I remember year after year, Mo Cheeks, who eventually did go in, you know, the debate would be, and he would be nominated, but then not get that final hurdle to get in. And, you know, he's a very mild-mannered guy to begin with, but I would always have to try to track him down to interview him to say, you know, how do you feel? This is disappointing, you know, all those things. And the further you get away from your playing years and you don't get in, people think that, you know, that you're not going to get in. Now, one of the things that years later that brought it back to the table at one point was when Cheeks helped that girl get through the national anthem when he was the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. And not that it didn't mean anything about his Hall of Fame status, but it just helped create the conversation again because he was in national news because of that moment and what he did with that girl. And eventually he did get in. I don't recall. It was a couple of years ago. That one stands out to me as a local. And when I say local, not that he's from here, but meaning as a guy who, you know, played for the Sixers and was on that great championship team, that the hard work paid off for him to get into the Hall of Fame. And I think the same about Herb McGee. Over at, I mean, the university has changed its name so many times, but they've never had to change the head coach for decades and decades and decades. And he went into the Hall of Fame not too long ago, and that was rightfully deserved. And I remember feeling that for Immaculata's team and Kathy Rush. When I was a kid, all I ever wanted to do in terms of going to a basketball camp was go to the Kathy Rush basketball camp. And for people who don't know, that small school, that small Catholic school, I should say, and my gosh, does she have some great stories for sure. She guided them to the first, I believe it was three, championships in women's basketball. And the stories about how they did that. And that team eventually, as I mentioned before, just like the Dream Team, went in, was acknowledged by the Naismith Hall of Fame. So too was that Immaculata team eventually. But that was a lot of hard work to get that recognition. And I should say, that team has a movie made about them. So, and they had some phenomenal talent and people who on that team that went on to coach themselves at the collegiate level. Teresa Grentz is one of them and still lives in this area, if I'm not mistaken. But she had an excellent playing career as well as a coaching career in women's basketball. So Hall of Fame stories, that's what these are. I hope you're enjoying them. And we got one more segment together. We can talk about this year's class. We can talk about your Hall of Fame moment, however big or small it is. And again, we're just trying to keep the conversation going about things happening in the sports world despite things not being played in the sports world. But today, some news, not just about the Hall of Fame, but also all those sports leagues being on a conference call with the president and trying to have an idea of what needs to happen next, whenever, and we don't know when that is, whenever the health officials give them the A-OK. And having a conversation is a good way to be connected, share ideas, be organized. And it was a good thing, I'm sure, just to be able to do that as a group. 610-632-0975. I am D-Line. I'm with you until 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is Saturday evening, if you will. D-Line, I'm with you. Nat is behind the glass. Been facilitating calls, our guests. All this as we get through this Saturday afternoon here at 97.5 The Fanatic. I do like going to Twitter, and I just saw, I listen to a lot and I read a lot during these days, and I just saw where Brian Seltzer, the great Brian Seltzer, his latest Sixers podcast, it says it's Furkan Korkmaz week on the pod. Make sure to listen to the outtakes or the full episode. And, you know, it does take you back to whether you want to say how the Flyers had won 9 out of their previous 10 games when the NHL would hit pause. I love the different terminologies for the different leagues. Or, you know, the games that Korkmaz, now he had some that were afterwards were tough, but he had some huge games and some big shots that were made. Or even a Shake Milton who was coming into his own as that season then abruptly ended on March 11th. And it's not necessarily that the NBA and NHL are done for good this season, but it does seem with every passing day and the further we get from being able to do anything that resembles normal life, that becomes a stronger and stronger possibility. And even having the discussion about, you know, player salaries being reduced and whatever that number becomes that they agree upon. But it does seem, and ESPN did have a report from Brian Windhorst, that, you know, that's kind of setting the table for the possibility that you won't be able to resume either of those leagues for this year. And so, you know, In a different article, it said that probably won't be a decision that is made anytime before June 1st. But, you know, things are constantly being canceled. Now, one of the things not canceled at this point, two things, actually. The NFL draft is going to, as of right now, take place April 23rd through the 25th. And I didn't get to read it yet, but it did kind of map out how they will be virtually introducing each of those that are selected. I don't know if you do it just through the first round, kind of similar to when the NBA has people in attendance. And I guess you can still be, you know, they already had videos and whatnot created for this event. What isn't taking place is having a crowd. One of the great NFL drafts was the one here in Philly. Awesome. So you can't do that. That would have been in Vegas. And you can't have people gathered together, family and friends. And so virtual has become definitely the new norm. I do see different ones, but I've seen where people have gotten together and like a choir got together in a Zoom and sang a song, and that was on Twitter. I just saw where the, because I do Princeton Tigers women's games, that the entire team got together, and they always play good music pregame, and they did one of them where they then all did their fist pump at the end of it, and all of them were on the screen also. So these things can be done. They will be different. But anyhow, that's still in place, and as of today, in the conference call with the president, that he believes that the NFL season will be able to start on time in September. We'll see. It seems like a difficult task, and it's also difficult to predict that being true because of what is still going on, and for many believing that, you know, the worst is not over yet. So, but these are the things that that we're dealing with. And the one good thing that I do like is having those conversations with people in their sports and then health officials, because that becomes another big part of this, is health-wise, you can't do anything until you get the all clear, right? All clear. So we'll see where that takes us. Today was Hall of Fame Day, and the class for 2020 was announced. Kobe Bryant was on it. Tim Duncan was on it. KG was on it. I thought we had Hall of Fame guests, quite frankly, Nat, in Sonny Vaccaro, who had great stories, not just about signing Kobe to his first sneaker deal, which was with Adidas. And then eventually, years later, he went to Nike. But he also got to share some of his Michael Jordan Nike stories, which were also fun. And then we had Coach Lynam, because he and the Washington Bullets, he was a head coach back then in 1995 when the Bullets selected Philly's own Rasheed Wallace with the number 4 pick in the draft. And right after Rasheed, Kevin Garnett was selected by the Minnesota Timberwolves straight out of high school. And he would be the first to do that in 20 years. And 20 years earlier, it was Moses Malone. See, it all comes back. Moses wasn't selected by the Sixers, but eventually he brought his greatness here. And so it ties back in. And then we had Bill Schoening, who is the San Antonio Spurs play-by-play radio announcer and one of Philly's own. And I love the story that PJ Carlissimo, who is a good dear friend of the Lynam family, he was the TV announcer when Bill first hit the scene in San Antonio, and he found out that Bill was, you know, from Philly, West Catholic, Temple, grew up in Southwest Philly, and so he called him Philly Billy, which Bill doesn't really particularly care for. But then that led to Tim Duncan calling him Philly all his life. And today, Tim Duncan finding out that he is going into the Naismith Hall of Fame. So in a time where good storytelling is what we do need, I was grateful to all of those people, my friends, to share some, highlight some of the people before they became Hall of Famers and what it was like to witness Hall of Fame greatness along the way, because really that's what that was. And that was pretty cool. So, Nat, what do you got in for the rest of the night? Dinner, that kind of thing? Movie, maybe?
That's a good question. I got through 4 movies yesterday, so I don't know if I'm a little bit movied out or if I should continue the streak here.
Yeah. Ooh, 4 in one day, that's a lot. Definitely dinner for me, I can tell you that. And I'm sure, maybe I'll win the wheel. They better not have spun at my household without me. I want to see, I haven't won since last weekend. So, and I don't...
You're overdue.
I am overdue. Way overdue. I got to see what's happening with that wheel. It seems a little out of balance right now when the two kids are the ones winning every night. But I am out of time. I will be back tomorrow. I'll follow Joe Stazek. I'll be here at noon till 4 o'clock. And we'll see what we got on tap for tomorrow. Got some things up my sleeve. Coming up now, though, Devon Givens. How about that? Saturday night with Devon Givens sounds perfect. I thank you all for being with us. I thank you for listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. Stay home, stay safe, and find something to smile about. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, what's up? This is Kobe Bryant of the world champion Los Angeles Lakers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.